Okay. Well, first let me welcome you to the first of many of our success interviews with our Member Solutions clients, and this is called Portrait of a Successful Martial Arts School Entrepreneur. Our success story of the month is with Chuck and Kara Jean Greco of Westchester Martial Arts Academy. And Chuck and Kara are a husband and wife team and have been teaching full-time for 5 years. I started working personally with them about 15 months ago, and it's been an unbelievable journey, to say the least. And just quickly, let me do some bragging so that those of you who may be on the line right now and debate whether this is an interview you may want to stick with, I want to keep your ears peaked. Chuck and Kara started we're talking about maybe 15, 16 months ago doing some elite consulting with me. They started with 125 students, and they were doing approximately about $6,500 to $7,800 per month in billing. Within 14 months, they've literally transformed their entire business, and they're now billing about $19,000 a month, and with a total gross of 22 to 24 and climbing on a monthly basis. The interesting thing that I'd like to mention, which makes this even more exciting, is that they only have, and I say this as a positive thing, added on about 50 new clients. Their current enrollment is now at about 175 active training paying members, and they really have not put in a huge amount of money into marketing and advertisement. The success story is not the usual. If you look at most martial arts schools, normally, you know, it's all about, you know, massive money into marketing, you know, and all this crazy stuff going on. But Chuck and Kara, they remain a high-quality school with their focus on retention, and the students keep coming through the door on a regular basis. So without further ado, I want to welcome Chuck and Kara to the phone call. And, hey, guys, how you doing today?
Doing great, sir. How's everyone out there?
Everyone's, I'm sure, doing really well. I'm happy to have you on the line with us. And I think that, you know, for me, it's exciting because not only are you our first, and I couldn't think of a better group of people to do it with, because I think that, you know, a lot of people that are listening, either on the archives or in the computer, they're really not sure of what it will take, what it took for you guys to make this major transformation. And I think that that's what we're gonna work on today and try to get the point across, because you and I had spoken this morning a little bit about what we really wanted to talk about. And might I add too that you guys are in Westchester County, you know. In our area, in our neck of the woods, we're kind of all feeling a major pinch. And, you know, everyone's throwing around the word recession. And, you know, I know in my area, especially on Long Island, I'm feeling that. So you guys are still growing by leaps and bounds. So I'm excited. And I'm going to ask you just a series of questions. And, of course, you know, if you have anything to add, just throw it in there. And let me first start off by asking you, like, why did you start your martial arts school to begin with? What was the reason why that you guys started?
I would say it's probably the same reason that most people do it. I was just absolutely in love with the martial arts. When I was actually working as a physical therapist before, and I decided that, you know, I just need to do something that I'm really, really passionate about doing. I've been doing the martial arts since I'm a little kid. And
right.
Said, you know what, this is what really, truly makes me happy, and I'm just going to go for it. I've always been one of those guys that's like, all right, we're going to shoot for this, and we're going to hit it. And, you know, thank knocking on wood that it was a very successful outing for us.
Yeah, and you know what? Also, too, you teach a rather unique blend of martial arts. Not so unique now, but back in the day when you opened even 5 to 8 years ago, your martial arts were, you know, kind of, especially the Cali thing, was a little bit more of a, you know, esoteric kind of martial art, but now mainstream MMA is bringing a lot to the forefront. But you're really like kind of like an eclectic mixed martial art, right? What styles do you teach in your school?
You know, very, very proudly we represent, you know, Sifu Dan and Asano. We're a certified Jeet Kune Do Concepts, Filipino martial arts, and Mafalindo Silat instructors. And we also teach, you know, Thai kickboxing and Brazilian jiu-jitsu at our academy.
That's great. And I know, going back to when we first started working together, we spoke about the different programs you offered. And, you know, you also do yoga, I think, and some cardio kickboxing, right, as well?
Yeah, yoga, cardio kickboxing make up our fitness programs.
That's awesome. And now, just to get into the nuts and bolts right away, initially when we first started doing work together, you had two different programs that you offered. From what I remember, you had a 6-month program, a 12-month program, and then you also had your upgrade to the Black Belt Club, as well as your fitness, your cardio, and your yoga program.
That's right.
What did you change since then? Have you changed anything from the six-month agreement, or are you still doing those, and do you do yearly agreements and so on?
What we do now is we have, for new members coming in, we allow a three-month trial membership. Then
right.
Everything after that for the martial art programs is 12 months for the basic program and 24-month programs for the BBC upgrades. For the fitness programs, we had as fitness programs are, they're very transient. We had a monthly program, we had 3 months, we had class packages, and we did away with all that. So now our fitness programs are also 6 month programs.
Wow! And then let me just go on to that too, but because that's pretty much unheard of in most cardio, karate, kickboxing, fitness programs where everything is a month-to-month kind of program. So you actually had taken the martial art model of being a little bit more committed, and you put that into your cardio, kickboxing, or the fitness program, and now do you find any resistance with that? Are they just signing up like they would normally?
They're just signing up like they would normally. So, usually the resistance to any of these ideas if I raise my prices, people will freak out and I'll have a mass exodus, or if I just say the 6 month or whatever is going to be problematic in those minds. But more often than not, it's never a problem. Price increases as well as membership length is rarely ever a deciding factor in terms of whether or not someone's going to be signing up for training.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to add that it seems like the ones who do resist to that and everything are the students that really haven't been the great students as it is. They're not really, they're not the ones you really want, or the ones you tend to have problems with, or just don't commit anyway. So it's almost like you're almost better off without them sometimes.
Yeah, it's interesting because, a lot of times, I've heard many people in seminars say, get rid of all the people that are not good, and keep only the good ones. But then, I've always looked at those people and said, that's interesting. Maybe they have so many people coming through the door that they can afford to do that. There's so many martial arts schools out there that are struggling to get those one, two, or three people in that they can't even afford to be selective at that process. But it took you guys a little while to get to that point where you could really be a little bit more choosy. But once you started to get the ball rolling, now you have more people than you could even imagine. I mean, when we had spoken, we had set some goals for June. By June of this coming June, you had hit your goals by January, the past January, and now we were beyond what we had thought we were going to do as far as your goals go, right?
Absolutely.
So leading into the price structure, when you had said, believe in what you want to charge and not be afraid of raising your prices, initially when we started working together, you guys had a few different variables as far as price goes, and I know we had spoken about that, and I had said, let's raise your prices, and you didn't hesitate in one way or another. You didn't give me the typical excuse in my area people can't afford, or this and that, I'm in a small town, I live by, a depressed area. You basically just looked at it and said, okay, let's do it, and you jumped up quite dramatically on, I think, one or two of your price structures, right? You went from almost a $25 to $30 increase across the board for your children, right?
We jumped up significantly. We went from, having our little Dragons program, which is the 4 to 6 year olds, was at $120 at that time, and in the juniors, which is the 7 to 12 year olds, was up around $135, and we just across the board raised it to introductory pricing is $150. Period.
Right, and then you have other prices that jump up even higher at $185, I believe, or is it more than that, and $200 per month?
Yes, that's correct. $185 is our standard Black Belt Club membership, and the $200 is our all-inclusive gold membership package.
That's great. And then before we jump on that, that's pretty good. Let's talk about the inclusive thing again. But right now, so basically your bottom line, your basic price is $150 a month. When most people are struggling at $100 a month, and this is good for everyone who's listening out there, and of course we all know it depends on area, but not to the dramatic, price change. I mean, yeah, maybe $125, but people are out there still charging between $60 and $70 a month, some of them $80 a month, but you're easily getting your $150 and with your increases on the higher rate programs, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now tell us a little bit about that inclusive program that you're doing at the $200. What is that all about?
The inclusive program is we run probably about 12 special events 10 to 12 special events per year, whether it be, you know, movie nights, parents' nights out, board breaking with dad, glow chuck pizza parties, you know, Halloween parties, you know. And with the all-inclusive package that we have is for what it comes down to an additional $20 on top of your elite membership, you can actually now attend all those events. Now, that actually saves the customer 30% if they were doing it all a la carte. If they were going to, yes, I'm doing the parents' night out, the glow chuck night, the board-breaking seminar, the kick pad seminar, if they're doing that all, you know, one by one by one, they're actually, you know, they're spending a great deal of money. With the all-inclusive membership, they're saving 30% right off the board.
Yeah. And now, so do you find that a lot of people, and there, of course, a lot of these people wouldn't do every single event, but even though that you showed it or presented to them as a great savings, and in the long run, even if they saved only $30 or $40, it's still worth it to them, and then they jump on this inclusive kind of package, which also is interesting because people would almost like to just budget it in, and they feel more comfortable just with a budget, so they'll jump on that. And you found that a lot of people have done that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a great thing, and I know we've spoken about that in the past, and that's a really good idea for people out there that are listening, is to find out where you're. And we've discussed this as holes. You know, we always talk about those holes in the bucket when it comes to retention, in through the back door, in through the front door, out through the back door. But we also need to talk sometimes about the holes in the bucket when it comes to our income coming in and where we could find other sources of revenue. And I think we're going to get involved in that in a little further down the interview. But I remember another thing, and I'm going to jump to a whole other topic, is initially when I first spoke with you, we talked about your retention rate. And you, at the beginning, about 14 or 16 months ago, you weren't really sure of what it was, and now if I asked you today, you could probably tell me to the person how many people are there, how many people are paying, how many people are active. What is it that made the stats important to you, and what made it that you were able to know every stat and so on, like to keep the pulse on your school, and have you found that to be a major factor in your growth?
Yeah, I mean, as any of the business people out there, and everyone knows this, keeping good statistics is key. And what we keyed in on about is we looked at all of our stats for our Little Dragons program, all of our stats for our juniors program, all of our stats for our adults, all of our stats for the fitness programs, and we looked at where we're losing people, at what belt rank we're losing people. And so we can now look at, okay, is there something that's a sticking point at, you know, at green belt, for example? Is it that the curriculum is too light, is too hard? What's happening there? For the littler guys, is everything structured well? Are they getting enough rewards coming in? Is it happening for them? For the adults, are they getting what it is that they want and what they need? Are they getting, you know, basically what they're paying for?
Mm-hmm.
And by us doing that, we figured out some curriculum stuff, saying, okay, you know, we're going to X this out of the curriculum and change this around and be able to, you know, have a better idea of what's going on. And from there, you know, I don't want to jump into too much of the marketing to the groups, but we're able to see what something is going wrong at what time frame and preventative measures, and actually pre-framing people that there might be a bump in the road coming up, so we can easily get past that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to make a note of that right now. We'll come back to that in a second as far as pre-framing, and also even, like you had said, knowing from the statistics, knowing how to market to that specific clientele. So we'll talk about that marketing, you know, or we'll call it target marketing, which is a big word that a lot of people throw around but don't really do. But let's go back to, you know, your retention rate, which to me is one thing that I found amazing. And now, according to my stats that I have with you guys, that you guys have lost about 10 students in 6 months, only 10 students in 6 months. This would bring your retention rate to probably like just about 90% of where you're at, and which is unbelievable in our business, even much better than what I have in my school. And what do you feel are a few of the contributing factors that really are making you guys, and might I add to this as well, how your retention being so good is saving you tons of dollars in marketing as well, because you don't need to keep pumping people through the front door on a regular basis. Your model is actually kind of totally backwards when it comes to, not something that we don't want to do because we all strive for this, but we're not able to actually hit it. But it's backwards from what other people are doing. We're pumping tons of dollars into marketing to keep people through the door to replace the people who are being lost. You guys are not having to do that. So what are a few of the things that you would suggest to our listeners to do, you know, quickly to, you know, to bump up retention? And what are you guys doing specifically?
Specifically, to make sure everything is running smoothly, it's I have to say is one of the best things that you taught me was the 2-4-6-8 10-week calls. Now, from these here, we have, for each call, we have an agenda that we want to accomplish, whether it's going to be pre-framing for an upgrade, or making sure that the customer is on board with testing procedures, and we're answering questions, some of them before they come up. Now, so a lot of the problems with people in retention is there's obviously some stuff possibly lacking in the school, but with proper communication and proper, you know, contact, most of these things can be, you know, completely changed around. You know, you don't have to put out any fires if the fires are never started.
Mm-hmm.
So from a new person would enroll, they're basically getting a phone call from us every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be framing how's everything going. How is little Billy adapting to the class structure? Or if it's an adult, how are you adapting to the class structure? How is everything fitting in? I'm explaining how the testing procedure works. You have your first test coming up, you know, in 8 more classes. So this is getting everything really squared away. Given that they don't have a goal, whether it be, you know, for little Bobby to have a better attention, you know, span, or for sometimes even the adults to just become, you know, a more confident individual. We set basic goals, and mm-hmm. we can knock down each of those targets, you know, in the next 4 weeks there. So it's going to be it's a big communication thing, and there's also a lot of face-to-face time with the 2-4-6-8 calls. You know, there are congratulatory postcard mailings, whether it be "we miss you" postcards, or something as small as, you know, "great job with that kick in class," or "excellent sound sparring," and that goes extremely a long way. When you start getting the personal connection with these customers, whether the personal connection with the child and the parent, or personal connections with your adult students, that is incredibly good for retention.
Right, of course. And I think, too, what you guys are really doing really great, and you have a few other things that you're doing, is stuff that I had spoken about in the past on other conference calls, is perfect attendance rewards. You have a point system that you guys have developed. You're now instituting a sticker system into the school. You have inter-school competitions. You also have this educational forum where you're always continually mailing out emails and newsletters and weekly communications. Let's go into that a little bit. What do you find to be some of these? Let's first talk about your point system that you guys do.
Well, the point system, we're actually going to be switching. For our Little Dragons program, those are the kids who are, let's say, about 4.5 to almost or about 7 years old. We're going to be switching over to actually a sticker system. But the point system is more or less, it does give us an opportunity at the end of each class to sit down with the kids for, could be like, you know, just 30 seconds or something, very quick, and let them know they did a great job, or just give them a little bit of just tell them, hey, I think you could have worked a little harder today. I want to see this from you. And give them a little boost of confidence. And they get points. And they can trade their points eventually for T-shirts and wristbands and keychains and stuff like that. Our sticker system we're going to implement for the little kids, because one thing we've definitely found is most of them don't tend to understand what 20 points means or something. So
right. It's not tangible. They can't hold on to it.
Right. So it's going to be almost the same idea, but they'll get a sticker to take home and put it on. They're going to have their own sticker sheet, and then they can – I think it's just more tangible, and they understand. It's a lot more basic and, I think, better for the little guys. So, but it's the same idea, and then they can turn them in for things, for, you know, pro shop items and everything.
That's great. And now also you guys do, and this is something that I've spoken about, and you guys actually are doing it with great success, and I do it in my schools, is the perfect attendance reward system as well, right, where you give out trophies and so on.
Yes, that's wonderful, actually, because once we started that, yes, it's the same thing you do, and kids are so focused on getting those trophies, which means they obviously have to come to class and they obviously have to do well in class, because we make sure that they have to get a certain amount of points and attend class. the skip the class and get, you know, a very low score or anything like that, then they have to – then they don't get it. So, but they've been very focused. And another thing – I mean, for a small amount of revenue, if kids are missing a few classes, you know, and it's getting close to the graduation time, parents are happy to pay for a private to make up or, you know, do something like that to help them make up those classes at the end, and it's going to just help retain them in the end, of course.
And the parents are tied into it as well, where the parents are a little bit more aware of how many classes the kids are making so that they can actually push those kids. If they only have a class left and they don't want to go, they could say, hey, you know, little Johnny, you got to go today because then you're going to get your perfect attendance reward, which is a trophy, which we give out, which is a 6-inch trophy, and they're more in depth to get in there and get involved with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, they'll push them to go. And usually the kids will want to. They're more up and up than the parents. They're just like, you know, and usually before graduation I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's more work, but that's okay. Tons of phone calls or emails. Just, you know, just want to make sure my son has enough classes. They just want to make sure that they know they're getting the trophy. And
it makes a world of difference. They really look forward to it, don't they?
Yes
they do.
Absolutely, yes.
And now again, too, a long time ago, it seems like a long time ago when we first started, we talked about putting together this kind of weekly communication, parents educational forum, and at first you guys were so busy and it was kind of like that technophobe kind of mentality, and now you guys are now pumping out emails, you communicate on snow days, you're on a regular basis reminding people of test dates. What has that done for you guys as far from your point of view as a school owner and your school, that regular communication? Do you see it as being a major change or just a little change? What was it when you did that?
It was a major change because we use it as our customer education right there. So in addition to the little stuff, like obviously, yes, just communicating snow days, but we're also including different events of the school as well as articles and little just like, you know, basically thoughts for the day here. So we're constantly, you know, inculcating our customers on our methodology, bringing them right into the fold and just seeing what we are for the entire time. So we're constantly pushing our system, we're like, what we believe in, what we're helping you guys to achieve, and really just keeping them focused, as well as, you know, letting them know this is not just, you know, a kicking and punching, and this is not some glorified daycare, and this is not just an addendum to soccer. This is something that can be extremely good for everyone, whether it's going to be, you know, giving a kid a great, you know, head start into life, or the adult to be able to start changing some of the things that he's been, you know, doing, you know, wrong aspects of his life.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting, and I want to touch on what you had just said. It's not like in addition to soccer. I think that a lot of us, of course, we know that our major competition is soccer, t-ball, and all these alternate sports, but I don't think that we utilize those sports enough in our program. And even in my school, we just started this whole new marketing campaign where we're reaching out to all these other sporting events, not reaching out to them with in respect to getting them to come to us and or them to send their people to us, but we're actually just selling everyone that the point that they're are going to be a better soccer player or a football player or a baseball player or musician, violinist, guitar player if they're in our martial arts school. And I've found, and I'm sure everyone on the line has found, that most kids are more successful if they've trained with us in martial arts. I don't see them as being more successful if they've played soccer or if they've done other things, but the martial arts is really helping them be better in everything that they do. So we have to let people know that the roots of their success comes from the martial arts. And I think that that's a big and an important thing for us to communicate to our potential clients or to our existing clients.
I just want to say, you know, before we start to get really heavy into the 2468 calls and stuff, yes, I always send out a newsletter. I send out emails. I think people, we have to realize, you know, like it or not, continue to do those things. But they are just so inundated, and they are just going to ignore. So really giving the phone calls and that one-on-one and that very special one-on-one attention to everybody, I think goes a long way. You know, it really does. Sometimes, you know, people just slowly, as they've been at your academy for a while, they know testing dates. They're really up on things. But especially in the beginning, give them that one-on-one attention. I mean, not even 2468. I'm calling people on a very regular basis. You know, if the kid wasn't feeling well one day, you know, and just kind of had to drop out of class because they weren't feeling well. The next day, I'd make it a point to call, how's the kid feeling, you know? And you really have to go to that extra mile. Yeah.
And that's the personal attention that we're talking about, which probably is bringing your attention through the roof, because I'm sure each and every single client feels that they have that personal connection with you guys as teachers.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. My teacher was in Japan was an expert at that, even though that I know this is not totally true. But he somehow made everyone in his organization feel that they had their own special individual relationship, like no other student in the system. And I felt that way myself. I felt like I had these little special things that it was just between him and I. Well, anyway, by what you guys are doing, you're connecting to those parents, so and the student, but mostly to the parents for the kids, where if the little Johnny wants to quit, parents are saying, no way, that's not happening, because I could see the benefits you're getting, and you know, your teachers are really helping me achieve what I want for you in life. So you guys are really digging into the personal touch, which takes retention and customer service to a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, let me add to this, because the interview so far, in my opinion, is just has worlds of information in it that's just so beneficial to the school owner. But let's talk about a little bit of your breakdowns on your programs also that you offer, because I know you have a basic program, you have some Black Belt Club, you have elite training, or whatever you do. What are the different programs that you offer in your school?
We offer, actually, for the kids who are the younger kids, the ages basically like 4, 4.5, to when they turn about 7 years old, is our Little Dragons program. And then we have, after that, it's if you come in, you know, your new student from about 7 to 11 years old, it's our Juniors program. Once a student gets to be about our Green Belt level, or roughly around there, depending on the kid, they can upgrade into our Black Belt Club program, which is a 3-day-week program. At that point, that's when we also do the 24-month agreement, and they start doing the kickboxing. They start doing other things, but they do a 3-day-a-week. Then what any student can do is, again, what we were saying about our program where, our gold membership, which is the extra $20 a month, and you can go to all those parents' nights out and everything there. And then for our fitness program, it's our cardio kickboxing, and we have our fitness yoga. That's usually, of course, women are into that. And, of course, our program, yeah, we have several different things for that.
And now with your Black Belt Club program, the people, are you inviting them specifically, or when they get to a certain rank, everyone's eligible, or do you make it more exclusive?
It's actually exclusive that we want to do. We want to almost have that, you know, like the very special forces kind of feel to it, where, you know, that was our early on for it. Right now, our communication with the parents is so well, people are clamoring for the upgrade. Well, the minute the kids are 6 months away from the potential of having the upgrade, they're already, you know, asking for it. They're already going. So we don't have to sell it at all anymore.
It's selling itself, and you've made it this so exclusive and so prestigious within your school that people are actually dying to get in versus you having to sell them into the program.
That's right.
And now you've done this through, give me a few tips, like quickly, on how you did that to make it such a desirable program. Did you do anything special, or it's just that hold it back, and how do you lead into it?
If we're pre-framing them from the time that they are, you know, week one, day one, that, you know, they want to be, you know, they want to be black belts. They want to be, you know, our Black Belt Club have different uniforms, and they're, you know, they do all the really cool stuff. They do, you know, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu aspect of it. So they see in our inner school tournaments, these are the kids doing, you know, sweeps and arm locks. They do,
right. You know,
their kickboxing. They do their Filipino martial arts weapon training. So all the great stuff is happening there. So the kids are really, really ready to get through the, you know, just the basic stuff to get to the great stuff, to get to the actual meat and potatoes of the martial arts.
Right, right. Well, that's awesome. And now, what would you say your percentage of enrollment is? I know if I ask you a little bit ahead of time, you could pull it right up for me, but roughly, is it like 50% of your enrollment, 60% on the Black Belt Club?
Yeah, definitely. I would say it's between 60 and 65%. I could look up if I was on the computer.
Exactly. I know you would, because normally when I ask you your stats, it takes you like 2 seconds, and now you pull them right up. So if you're looking at 65%, it's about probably 80 members around, maybe more, that are in the high-level course, which is, what was it that you charged for Black Belt Club again?
The 185.
Yeah. So, I mean, if, for all those people out there that are listening to see, that's why I always use you guys as an example as when I talk to my clients or when I'm doing consulting for Member Solutions, you know, we talk about how the old model of having, you know, and I think we've initially talked about this in the beginning, was, you know, we always as school owners look at our bottom line price of, let's pretend it's $100, and we say, okay, well, we want to make $10,000 a month, so we need 100 students. And let's say we hobble around or we level off at 50, we go to 60, we drop back down, and we get stuck around 50 or 60, and we never quite meet our goals. And our ultimate thoughts are, we need to add more students in order to hit our financial goals. But in your case, you guys are reaching unbelievably great financial goals, and you hadn't had to add on 300-400 members or 200 members. You're kind of where you want to be, and of course we're going to grow from there, but without having to, you know, triple the amount of customers and the aggravation and the twice the amount of parents and complaints and so on. Your model is, you know, high quality, you know, low stress and high profit.
That's right.
So, you know, what is it that let's do this, though, quickly before we jump off a topic. What is it that you would say is the one main thing that you're using for marketing to bring new people in the door? And then we're going to talk about that whole pre-framing thing that we talked about in target marketing. But what have you guys been doing in the last 2 years to market the school? And it's really not a huge amount, but what have you guys done with success that are bringing people through the doors?
Well, it's funny because if people think marketing, they're thinking of like taking an ad out in like, you know, a parent journal or something like that. We have right now currently run no ads in any papers, any magazines. We have no commercials. We have none of that. But what we do is we are so entrenched in our community. Where Kara and I are both community board members for at-risk children. And from there, we got into all the school programs. If there's an after-school program that's done martial art-wise in our area, and that's a total of 12 schools, we are servicing those programs. So we have 12 after-school programs going, as well as the park and rec always, you know, comes to us for summer camp. So now we are doing summer camp from June through August as fully paid with access to 1,000 kids.
Right.
Not having to spend any money. We're actually being paid to do all this.
Yeah, and you do get paid pretty well to do the programs, and you're able to, and they let you market to those people as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we get paid, we actually get paid extremely well by the town and the school systems, and we run sometime between 30 to 50% in turnover enrollment from those programs.
Right, right. Yeah, which is unbelievable because, like I said, initially when we talked about marketing, everyone thinks run an ad, like you said, and do all the things that you could do with traditional media. But your marketing is kind of, I would almost say, it's like an inside-out marketing concept where you're teaching the program, people are excited, and they're gonna come over to your school. But what is really unique that I find is that even if you only signed up over the course of the year 50 people, with the way your retention is, you're going to grow by 40 people or 35 people at least, and you're going to continually keep on growing. And we're almost at the point where we had said, what's your magic number or where you'd like to stay before you say, hey, listen, let's just turn over and raise our prices again without having to add on another X amount of people. We had a number, I think, we had said, right?
Yes, and we'll probably hit that number in the next couple of weeks, so we have to.
And we wanted to be around like 225 or 250, I think, total in your school, right?
Yeah.
And now, so for most schools, we look at success stories as like, you know, even like myself, I had at one point 1,200 students, and you know, I had 470 in one location, and now I'm, you know, after going through the stress of running a school with that kind of, you know, momentum, it wears on you, you know, but you guys are, you know, you're living a comfortable kind of existence in your school where you don't have to always be under that kind of pressure where you're still getting people through the door and you're really, really happy with, you know, the growth that you're having. And then we're smart about it now because if we get to a certain point, we're going to just raise prices a little bit more, not a lot, but without having to add on that much stress, you're still going to keep increasing your income and doing well and helping the community and so on.
Absolutely, and it's also something that you and I talked about quite extensively is making sure that each one of our students is going to be a qualified buyer. And
right.
A qualified buyer would be defined as the person who's going to, you know, enroll in the program, but it's also going to, you know, buy the private lessons and the gear packages, come to the different special events, the tournaments, and basically all the events that are happening at the Academy. They're just going to be such raving fans of it. It's a lot like you made the analogy of people who drive Vipers, the Viper drivers, the ones
right.
who bought the car, have to have the Viper jacket, the Viper hat,
yeah.
And everything else. So there, that is when you have people who are raving fans and just so on board with everything, it makes everything so much easier. The downside is Carrie and I have to make sure our customer service is top-notch. If we're going
right.
to be charging, you know, and we will raise our prices again very soon, if we're charging prices, it has to be that we can take care of everything, just like Mercedes-Benz or BMW. When you're buying
right.
now, when you go into one of their showrooms or bring a car for service, you are well taken care of. Everything is done with the utmost precision, care, and just as close to perfect as possible.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up because I have my lease up on one of my Cadillacs that I have, and I just called the car dealership right before I talked to you, and I got a guy on the phone who's in charge of the releases and refinance, and I said to the guy, his name is Dave, and I'd love to give out his last name so no one purchases from him, but I won't. But so I said to the guy, I said, listen, I'm really busy. I'd rather not come into the showroom. If you could just do a little preliminary kind of research for me, and just, it'll help me decide on whether I want to buy a new Cadillac, refinance the old one, switch it from the SRX to the blah, blah, blah. And the guy says, well, could you come into the showroom? And I said, I just told you I'd prefer not to do that. He goes, well, I don't want to discuss it if you're not going to come in to see me. So I said, okay, I'll do my best to come in. And then I hung up the phone. 5 seconds later, I was annoyed. I called him back, and I said, listen, I want to just give you some insight. And I said, I'm a qualified buyer. I've bought from you in the past, but I want you to do some research for me. I'm interested in buying. If you'll go that extra mile and do that, I'll probably buy from you. And he turned around directly to me and said, well, my past experience is that people like you don't really buy the car, and I just waste my time. So I said, are you willing to let me walk away right now and maybe buy another car, an Infiniti or something else? He says, yeah, I'd rather do that because my past experience is that you won't buy from me. And I just said, okay, now you're never going to get a purchase from me. I promise you I won't buy from your dealership. And he didn't care. He hung up the phone, and that was it. So what you're saying is that your service is just beyond where, like you said, if you buy a Mercedes, they make you coffee, they give you a cappuccino, they come in, they treat you well, and they treat you like a person, not like just a checkbook.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and let's also go in, because this is a great segue into that pre-framing, which we talked about earlier, and then marketing. You and I, all three of us had spoken about doing what we call a student grid, where we list every student from like 1 to 175, and we try to find out as much personal information, what they've purchased from your school, the age bracket they're in, the belt level they're in, and we also talked about when they're purchasing. And then what we found was that we found like certain niches in your school of people that will go to every single event, and then there are a good majority of the people that, even though that you're seeing that the income generators, for instance, a parent night out, might go over well, it's probably going to be the same population doing every event that you do, and there are going to be pockets of people that don't do anything that you do, and our goal was to promote to them, and we found that there were some areas of marketing that we could do and improve on income financially in your school. What was your opinion on that? What do you guys think about that, and what did you do?
Well, dramatically, the one thing that was going to be untapped was the little kids market, the 4 to 6 year olds. That
mm-hmm.
you know, we found that those parents are very, very willing to spend money on their kids. So when they're coming in during our first 2 week call, we're pre-framing them for the Little Dragons gear package, which is a great new T-shirt for the child that he can wear under his uniform, focus mitts, and a private lesson with either myself or Kara, the parents and the child, so they can now just, everyone's getting on the same page. The kids are going to be excited. They get a private, they have the focus mitts, and oh my gosh, you're training with mom and dad. Mom
right.
and dad are getting a more hands-on approach to see what it is, you know, from the being on the mat doing it, as well as getting some instruction themselves with that. So now,
let me stop you there, and we're going to keep on going because this is an important point that I want everyone to listen to. So rather than What you used to do is you'd have them come in, they'd be part of the program, and that was really it. You really didn't market to them, but now you have this incredible introductory package where they get a private lesson and they get some gear, and the parents will, like, immediately whip out their checkbook and do this because I know I have a daughter, and immediately anything that's good for her that I feel is beneficial, I'm going to spend money on. And yes. But one thing that you said which is important is you said you actually get the parents in on that private lesson, and now they become engaged because you're teaching them how to use the mitt and you're doing what I consider like a parent coaching session, so that the parents are even more tied in and they understand what you do even better. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's correct, because it's one of the things where whenever I'm having a conference with the new parents who are enrolling, I say martial arts and this relationship will work if it's a triangle approach. And the triangle is, you know, Kara and I here as, you know, motivated, caring teachers, the student, whether it be, you know, little Billy or whomever, as an excited, motivated, you know, student, and the parents. So the parents, if they want to see anything good coming out of the martial arts in terms of, you know, Billy's attention, you know, or his focus, or his self-discipline, they have to be on board to make sure that they're, you know, inculcating what we just put in there. They have to run the program that we just installed on the computer. And now that once the parents get involved in it, and the parents are seeing that they can help with the benefits of this, and even they're going to get the benefits of it themselves, it, again, just maintains qualified buyers. It increases retention, and just the overall, I guess, feeling of, you know, saying our academy is a very big feeling of belonging, big family atmosphere, even though we are growing in numbers.
Yeah.
Everyone gets their one-on-one time with myself and Kara, and we're all, you know, and we just all know each other on a more than superficial level.
Right, and it's definitely a culture time that you're building within your school. It's like, and I hate to use this analogy, but also it's a good analogy, and it's, you know, you're kind of like that culture like Starbucks is kind of built, where people feel proud to be a part of it. And, you know, if they're going to be in a, and I don't want to use this as a bad thing, but like the soccer mom kind of like niche where people are talking and they're recommending each other stuff because it's one's using it, so they all want to use it together. But you have that culture within your school.
Yes.
That's awesome. I know our interview is going so quick, and I have to say it's exciting because, you know, I'm also being reminded of a lot of things that, you know, that I could be doing better at too as well. And I want to just – we'll ask one more question, and then we're going to open it up for questions from others. But I would like to say, you know, if there was one thing that we had spoken about that has also helped you increase your events, and I just wrote an article about it last week, was your event journal, where you guys are actually taking time after each event and tracking what had gone on. How have you used the event journal? Because I know a lot of people have read the article, and I wanted them to have some sort of, you know – background on somebody who's using it as well and has done well with it and so on. The event journal, of course, being a simple sheet of paper, us taking like a diary of notes and looking at the event before and after and utilizing it as a marketing tool. What do you guys do with that real quickly?
We have an event happening on the Saturday. We have our fifth annual in-house tournament. We actually use the event journal and guide as an after-action report where we take we take everything down and see what were our areas of promotion. How did we get it out? You know, obviously, you know, there's mailers, our constant contact emails, of course, and one-on-one, you know, phone calls, and that's to get the event really hyped up. But I'm speaking specifically on the tournament that we're doing this weekend because it's fresh in my mind right now, and we're dealing with it all morning.
Yeah.
And you know, structuring the event, how everything is going to go, what time frames are doing. And also noting what is the customer response to the event. One thing, especially on how you phrase things. We phrased it as this is going to be a mandatory event. And once you use the M word, people automatically rebel against the M word.
Right.
So this year, just we said it's not mandatory, but we did say get your enrollments in before March 14th because we're going to make these teams and set everything in. And we had double the amount of people than we had last year when it was a mandatory event.
Uh-huh.
So that was one of them. We'd be tracking what the response of the event was.
Right.
And, you know, of course, if everyone can download the event journal, I'm not sure if it's on Member Solutions yet.
I actually included it on email, or they just have to email me. So anybody who's listening, if you want a copy of this event journal page, just email me. And my email is Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, Ninja, at AOL.com, and I'll send you a copy of it. But I'm sorry to interrupt. So what were you saying about the journal?
And you know, it keeps going down to different aspects of it. And one of the key questions here is what mistakes were made and what should be corrected in the future. And that's one of those things that was, you know, big for me is, you know, I had to, like, you know, look inward at myself and go, you know what, if there's a success or a failure with my business, it's, you know, not, I'm not going to blame the market conditions. I'm not going to blame the martial arts school throw. It's going to be what I'm doing wrong. This will have people that might not be comfortable looking inward and, you know, pointing the finger perception at their own failing. Seeing it written out will do actually wonders for fixing the problems when they come up for next time.
Yeah, and also memory, too. I mean, not only are we not wanting to improve, but sometimes we come up with the idea during the event or after, directly after, and we make a mental note, but we don't write it down. And I found this to be a big problem where I would do one event and then maybe do it again and say, darn, I thought I was going to remember that. And, you know, two or three events down the road, I finally make that correction. Well, the event journal or any kind of note system will help you remember so that the next event the corrections are made or the improvements are made or you're able to promote it better or start earlier. And I actually just redid my event journal myself, and I put in every single month of the year. And now, from now until the end of the year, I have all my events that I've done past, and now I know what ones I'm going to do presently, and I know how far out in advance that I should start mentioning it, marketing it, adding to it, improving upon it, sending out flyers, newsletters, and emails, and so on. So I think that that's a real positive thing. And it takes a lot out of our heads, which we have so much going on, and it puts it on paper so we don't have to try to remember it.
Right.
So, okay, let's, Kathy, if we could, I mean, the time flies by so quick, and I'm sure a lot of people have great questions. So could we open up the line for physical questions? And then if not, maybe you could read off some of the web questions.
Sure. Sure. Well, why don't we start on the web? We have a question from Wendy in Somerset about the Perfect Trophy Award. She wants to know, is this just once per year or over a certain time frame?
You know, the way it works, Wendy, is for each amount of classes for our beginning promotions, there is children need 8 classes. Actually, children, we do it for the adults as well. 8 classes per rank. So that's basically 1 month of perfect classes. There's twice a week, 4 weeks in a month. That's the way it happens. So at their graduation, they're going to be getting their perfect attendance award. To keep it going, once you get 3 of the small perfect attendance awards, there's 6-inch trophies and there's 12-inch trophies. The 6-inch trophies, you get 3 in a row. You can trade your 4th one up to the 12-inch trophy. And that becomes just 4 months of now perfect attendance. Then it'll restart again. So the next round is coming in. He gets his 3 little trophies, and then we trade that up again towards the 12-inch trophies. So until it becomes where he has 4 of the 12-inch trophies, which comes out to be 12 months of perfect attendance, we will actually give them a plaque saying, excellent job for 1 year of perfect attendance at the academy.
That's awesome.
See, that was one of the fantastic ideas. Yes, sir. That's a great idea from Kiyoshi Alley. That was fantastic.
And that I found too in my school. Once I started doing that, it literally had overnight, the minute I instituted it, doubled the people who are attending classes.
Yeah,
when you mentioned before about adults, it was huge because you would think adults don't want it. And we've also talked about maybe they don't want trophies, maybe they don't want a plaque, but we could also offer other gifts. Like maybe if they made a full year of perfect attendance, they got a private lesson or a school jacket or whatever you want to do that might be more motivational. But I have to tell you, I have students that are adults that say, oh, I don't want – you hand them the trophy, and they go, I don't really care about the trophy, and I don't really want the trophy. And as they're walking out the door, they are white-knuckled without ever releasing that trophy. So even though that they're saying it, they feel funny, but they're keeping it, and they really do want it. So the reward, even for an adult, is important. So
right.
That's a great question. So what else do we have, Kathy?
We have Mark from Oregon asking, how do you track the points? What kind of things can they do with the points?
Okay, I'm sorry. Say that again, ma'am.
Mark is asking, how do you track the points, and what kind of things can they do with the points?
Okay, we track the points at the end of class after we salute out and we get our high fives. The kids will get their attendance stripes for the day, and then they will sit down with the instructor, and the instructor has index cards for all the students in the class. So from there, we'll check out and make sure, you know, Billy was here that day, and we'll assign the points, or now they're going to be the sticker system that we're moving on to for the little kids for the day. From the points for the very basic members, they can now use their points almost like a bank. They can redeem it for small pro shop items, such as little glove keychains, belt keychains, all the way up to a hat, or all the way up to when you have, I'm not sure I have my listing here, but up to a private lesson. Now, for the kids who are in the Black Belt Club, we do keep them on a higher level, especially those who are getting ready for Black Belt. They use their points as basically a little currency to test. So in other words, if our guys have made, perfect scores, they're cleared to test. If they haven't made perfect scores for various reasons, now we can sit down and have a little mat chat with them and show them where the deficiencies was and how they're going to correct that so they can get ready to test.
That's awesome. So you're actually holding them accountable, too. They're getting rewarded, but if they don't get rewarded or they're bad in class or whatever may happen, you're holding them accountable so that it's just not like most parents, I hate to say this, want to just, they believe in that whole Dr. Spock self-esteem kind of mentality where let's keep rewarding them even if they're only doing okay. You guys hold them to the grind to make sure that they're excelling and trying to work harder to really be rewarded.
Because it's all about, we're teaching self-accountability. As much as we can for the younger audience, of course, to their appropriate age level, self-accountability.
Right.
And they'll begin to tell them, when we have our matchups, that does everyone know what self-discipline is?
Right.
And then we'll say something that says self-discipline is doing the right thing when nobody else is looking. So we make sure that they're understanding that from day one.
Beautiful. How about another question, Kathy?
Sure. John Bade, and it's almost 4 a.m. in Australia. John Bade wants to know if you're using a software package to assist with running the school.
The only software package that we're using is everything that's going to be available through Member Solutions. So we're just Member Solutions guys. Nothing, no add-ons or anything right there. All our billing is done through Member Solutions, and just, that's it. There's no bells and whistles other than what's available from Member Solutions.
And when you say that, you're actually using their website to keep track of your accounting, your billing, all of that, addresses and so on. So, I mean, basically everything that you're doing, it's not in this major software package because you're tracking it pretty simply on your own by hand, and it's not this big in-depth kind of crazy thing. It's not adding on a lot of time. You're able to keep the school running with a minimal amount of stress and paperwork. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, again, the message to everyone out there is that, it's really about focusing on the school, and it doesn't have to be this, crazy amount of or this new program and so on. And Member Solutions has whatever's available to you guys, and even with some of the other things that they're using now, which is, you're able to use the programs to market your events and help you with event manager, and these kind of things are all phenomenal. So Member Solutions has that available to you. So definitely call Member Solutions on anything like that, and their salespeople or the people, the reps, will be able to help you on that. All right, Kathy, what else do we have? Because I know we have about 4 minutes, and I wish this interview could have been an hour and a half.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and unmute the phone lines, and let's see if we have anyone on the telephone that would like to ask a question.
Okay, great. Is anyone out there that has a question specifically for Chuck and Kara?
Hi, Kiyoshi. It's Dwight Woods in Miami.
Hey, how are you?
How are you, sir?
Hi, Chuck. How are you? Matt, I got to tell you, I felt like I was being interviewed.
Oh, great. Well, you guys do the same thing, and you guys are in the same system, so that's awesome.
Yeah. I didn't really have a question. I just want to say it was really cool to have a fellow Jeet Kune Do instructor on the receiving end.
That's awesome. And, you and I should talk because we could possibly do some stuff in the future, maybe do an interview with you as well.
Oh, sure. Yeah, whenever you're ready.
Well, that would be great. So does anyone else have a question out there? Okay, typical of our audience that there's tons of people on the line and they're quiet, but I think that everyone feels comfortable online. So, Kathy, do we have any more online questions?
No, Allie, at this time we don't have any more online questions.
Oh, well, then I have some last things that I'd like to ask because I think to wrap it up because we are running out of time. And first I'd like to say to Chuck and Kara, you guys are awesome. I'm very proud of what you guys have been doing. I really, really see, that you guys are the type of people that go out there and do this. And to be a little bit on the joking end, I know that whatever it takes, you guys would do. I mean, you know, even if it was out there standing there with one of those kind of sandwich boards in front of your school, and I know this is not true, but you would do whatever it took. And I think a lot of times people believe that, it's bigger than what it really is. But really, you guys, I mean, what would you attribute the success that you've experienced in the last, 2 years towards? What would you say are the key factors, if you could give people some things to look at and so on, what would those things be? Give me like two or three things to talk about.
Well, the key factors is, I for the beginning times when I was in opening school, the first, 2.5 years, I was, very much, no, this is the way it's going to be done. I don't need to listen to anything. I rebelled against a lot of, what now, quote unquote, McDojo, like theories about things, and figured I knew better because I had, superior training to these guys and all that. And I actually had to take a couple of steps back through some personal things and left, saying, all right, you know what? I do need help. I need a good coach. And that's when I did some consulting with you, sir, where I was able to, find a good coach and ask for help and just realize that I need to be coach. I need to be the student again, and see what's going to work, and not make an excuse of my favorite is, oh, this wouldn't work in my area, or this is, too whatever. I'm very proud to say that I have not changed my curriculum one bit since 2003. I am still teaching for the adults JKD concepts, Filipino martial arts, and Mafalda Sila as taught to me by Seifert Dan and Asano. My kids' curriculum is basically Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Thai boxing. The kids do almost full MMA rules, and we do Filipino martial arts with them. So there isn't a big cuddly board breaking or whatever the new flavor of the month is. Once I got out to it and said, I'm going to listen to my consultant, listen to help, and I'm going to actually do what it is. Once you get the assignment, do the assignment to the best of your abilities. And just have the quest to get better today than you were the day before, and it'll happen. It is no substitute for hard work. All of us, will run, kick tie pads, grapple for 90 minutes, and do all that incredible hard work to get to the top of our physical game. That I'm sure that everyone on the line is at the top of their physical game. We're the guys and the girls. We're the warrior elite, so to speak. But we have to get that same kind of attitude and that same kind of focus on the business end of it, where you can be extremely successful teaching whatever it is. Whether you're a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy, you can be fantastic. A JKD guy, you can be a Kang Sudo guy, whatever it is, the system itself won't matter. It's your delivery and your retention, your client communications, and the ability to get better every day on it. That's going to be the main thing. That's what I like to communicate to everyone out there.
And you know what? I could say that you guys have truly lived up to that, because I've noticed that if I were to give you an assignment, you would get it done. When in regards, I might give another school owner an assignment, and that assignment might be to do a student grid, and that's to write down all your students and track what has gone on. And it may, I may get excuse after excuse after excuse with someone else. With you guys, by the next time we talk, the next week we're on the phone, it's done right there, and then we could really start getting down to it. And whatever suggestion that I've given to you, it's done right away, and you're already working on it and improving it and adding it into what you do and growing your school. And you guys are just a really great model for that. And if any of you guys want to send out an email to Chuck and Kara, forward it to me. I'll forward it on to them if you have any further questions for them and you'd like to speak to them more about what they've done, or a lot of the concept we've just spoken about. You could just email me, and I'll send you out information like on the 2-4-6-8-10 week calls, or on the Perfect Attendance Reward System, or any of that stuff. You could just email me at RenshiLiNinja@AOL.com. That's RenshiLiNinja@AOL.com. And we're out of time right now, so I want to thank Kathy for being on the line, and thank you, Chuck and Kara. You guys are awesome, and it's easy to see why you guys are such a huge success, and I'm proud to work with you guys, and I look forward to the future of working with you guys. And thanks for being on my first interview.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity, and hopefully it helps some people out.
All right, you guys. Everybody out there, thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you real soon. I hope to hear from you on email. And Chuck and Kara, I'll call you in a little while.